Blog Talk Radio.
This is May speaking to you from New York City, and it's a live program, and it's turning out to be a nice day. What about you down there in Nashville?
It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful fall day, and I actually have a day off from my moonlighting job, and so I'm happy to be able to talk to you at length after our show. It's a gorgeous day here, but you know, I experienced something Saturday night, and I just have to talk it out with you. I got to talk it out with my girl, okay?
Okay.
You know, I was working a wedding. I was outside, beautiful venue. They were going to get married at dusk, and the UT football game was on the big screen TV over the fireplace. It was like a pavilion. They delayed their wedding until the game was over, and then they got married in the dark outside.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think so for me.
No, me either.
I don't think the game should be more important than you know. Yeah.
I was like, wow, okay. I get you want to be supportive of your man and all of that, but if that's the way you're starting, sister, you are bringing a whole can of whoop-ass down on yourself, because as years go on, that's how it's going to be.
I'm just thinking, if you're going to do that, I mean, so your whole life is going to be a game, one game.
Yeah.
If the guy goes, you know, we're supposed to be going somewhere, it's our honeymoon or it's our second anniversary. But it's, the game's important.
The game.
I got to go to the game first. I don't think so.
Now, I could see if you were playing in the game. Well, you know,
yes.
I pride myself on having never watched a football game. It's like a badge of honor that I wear, and I take a lot of heat for it. But this was like, you've got to. And so they're beautiful. The pavilion was lit, but where they were getting married was down the hill in front of a beautiful arbor. It was in the dark. In the dark.
Oh, my God. That's all I can say. I think if the guy was marrying and that was the thing, I mean, unless they're both so into it, then you should not have it on whatever, you know. I mean, I don't think so. That's supposed to be your wedding day. That's a day that should override anything else that's happening, you know.
It should be one of the most important days of your life, bar none, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Well,
I agree with you.
Also, did you wake up to the headlines that Kim Kardashian apparently was held at gunpoint in Paris, tied up and put in the bathtub while five armed men stole all her jewels, the ones that she wears?
About $10 million worth. I mean,
yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
And, if I'm out there promoting myself like that, believe me, I will definitely have security guards that I trust constantly with me.
Yeah.
I don't know. And you have the money. It's not like you don't have the money. If you're going someplace out of the norm of your place. What was that? I'm sorry? Yeah.
I said something smells fishy to me. I'm sorry. You know they're not my favorite people in the world. Listen, I appreciate that these women built a dynasty and all of that, but now you're flaunting yourself wearing ice rink-sized rings and stuff. So I'm not saying she deserves it or asked for it, but
no,
I know you're keeping them someplace.
Nobody deserves being tied up and at gunpoint. That's scary and the whole thing. I mean, that's awful. But the thing is, if you're this much in the eye of everything, of the public, and you know you have the money, this is not something that, hey, I'm poor. If you have that, I'm just telling you. And you're in there, and you have this much money in jewelry. I would definitely have somebody guarding me all the time. And I know a lot of celebrities that use the same grouping of people that protects them, that's been vetted wherever they travel. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not to, you know, especially to a gala or especially to something, or, you know, you have somebody. So to not have, and you're wearing that type of jewelry, knowing it, I'd be worried. I would be worried at all times. I mean, you know, I don't have to worry because I don't have anything like that. But it's like, one day would hope that I don't have that. But I don't know if I would want to wear that type of thing, flaunting it.
Now, tell me, you might know this, too, because you've met her and everything. But I was always told that Elizabeth Taylor wore fakes, imitations of her jewelry, and kept her real jewelry locked up, that she had such great taste jewelry that no one knew the difference, you know.
Oh,
which
let
which
me
really
tell
goes
you,
the question why you'd have it then. But,
I don't know because I'm telling you, the jewelry on her neck that day looked so real. And, you know, and I was like, wow. And we're talking in the 70s, so I'm not sure. I know people that said these are fakes, and it turns out that they were real, but they don't like to let people know that they're real. They put it out that they're fakes.
Yeah. Okay.
I've had
that,
too.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't want people to say, oh, she's wearing the fakes again, you know? So you don't know whether they're talking real or fake. But I have to tell you, what I saw on her neck was absolutely gorgeous. If somebody was making a fake, I like that person to make me the jewelry, you know, looking like that. So down to the pristine version of whatever
is
real.
You need yourself a lavalier. Well, now,
yes,
you need a lavalier. This kind of leads to a good question because, you know, we do have, is John Lennon's birthday coming up? Is that what it is?
Yes, and that's where I'm going to be. People have been asking me. Unfortunately, I don't have control of, you know, just because this is the radio station. And everybody's asking, how can I get in? It's for Ken Daschau's Breakfast with the Beatles. And so, I asked Ken, and Ken said, he sent me a little link where people can try and win tickets to get in. Because if I was giving out tickets, my friends alone would have taken up the whole
the
whole place. The
audience.
Before you go,
because I want to talk about that, but I have a really good question for you.
Okay.
Did you and John ever, when you were together, did you ever have someone who, like, physically was threatening to you guys or tried to, you know, steal something? Or did you have, like, did he have a stalker when you were together?
We had stalkers, but here's the thing I've always said. You know, people who stalk, they just want, some of them are just fans that are just overzealous fans. And, you know, you don't brush them away. You know, you just sort of greet them. You don't make a big deal. I've always said the ideal, you know, like the situation when you have a president or some foreign head, they always have security. And you always have somebody who comes around and says, oh yeah, you got protection? I can get to you no matter what. You know, it's like Buckingham Palace and somebody always end up in the Queen's bedroom, you know. so you go, how did they get in with all those guards, right?
Right.
And it's because there's some twisted part of someone's mind that says, well, what do you mean I can't get in? I'm going to go, you know. So John and I have I kept it very, very, very loose. And we never said, oh, we live in a very well protected place or anything of the like of that. Because, you know, it's almost like saying, I'm better than you. And you don't want that. And
Did you have to travel with a bodyguard? Yeah. I mean, did you ever get to that
point? We didn't have that. And there was one time I got to New York and someone knocked on my front door. And I looked and it was a guy that came from L.A. And I was shocked. John was hidden behind the door. And, you know, and I said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, you know, John said to come and visit you. And I'm looking at him like, oh, Jesus. And I didn't know. I said, well, thanks. But I said, you know, he's not here. He goes, "That's okay. If you need me or whatever, we're me and he had a little boy, and he goes, we're upstairs. We made friends with your neighbor."
Oh my God!
Okay. Right, and he said, "So we could, you know, we can watch you." And I said, "Thanks." I said, "You know, I got to go, you know, because my mother or whatever I was saying." And I just went in and I went and I looked at John later and he looked at me and goes, "Oh my God." So I said, "Yeah." So we snuck out quietly and we left.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh.
I mean, can you imagine they made friends with neighbors upstairs?
Well,
I didn't even know the neighbors upstairs. So that was the whole thing. But
you know,
that was the only incident. That's the only time that I felt, oh my God, you know what can
town.
I do?
Yeah.
So I mean, I remember this guy in L.A. Person that should remain nameless said, "Oh yeah, John, you should go with these people." And next thing you know, this is this guy, and then they brought him back.
Oh.
And, you know, they let him go. And I'm just sort of sitting there thinking, are you kidding me? You know? And it was, poor judgment.
I just find it fascinating that, of course, it was a little bit different time back then. We didn't have all this social media and everything.
Yes.
And people couldn't say, oh, he's here right now in 5 seconds. But
yeah.
Someone as huge as John Lennon, did not walk around with a bodyguard.
No, we didn't do that, and I will say that part of it is he was with me anyway. We were very much open to greeting people, so we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody felt like, how dare you? You know, like you're better than you know that feeling that
yep.
somebody's saying I'm better than you. But it was very. But I saw an article. That was later on that he did for Esquire, and I remember reading this and going, "Oh my God, why did she say that?" Because it was a quote from Yoko where she said, "We live at the Dakota, and it's secure, and it's this, and it's that. It's not something you want to say."
Mm-mm.
You know, again, it's like that old thing at Buckingham Palace, you know, you go, it's surrounded by security. Well, somebody's going to, it's like trying to, was it Thomas Crown Affair or something where they're trying to steal the diamond and, you know, they're trying to break in. So you don't.
Somebody's
going to
make it happen. Somebody's
right.
going to make it. And somebody's going to consider that a challenge, too.
Yes, and that's
you know,
what I'm
and
saying.
It's just,
and you know what? Mark David Chapman read that part, and he said that was one of the things that he read that sort of irked him. So.
You know,
I'm just
so
sort
it's
of,
a double-edged
but it was
sword.
Not,
I mean,
but John
thought,
was always. But here's the thing: John was always careful. He never talked about that he was wealthy or he was this. In fact, he wasn't wealthy at the time when we were together. We were what we would call paper rich and cash poor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's basically what was happening.
And I mean, he didn't walk around with, you know, $50,000 Rolex and flashing his gigantic diamond pinky ring.
As I said,
and
we were actually, at the time I was with John, we were actually, we had to borrow money.
That is hilarious. See, no one would ever think that, you know.
I know.
But I just find it, interesting because I think that sometimes people who want to be seen as having a life bigger than life and they travel with this entourage and they attract so much more attention to themselves than if they just simply walk down the street and, you know, I'm going to share a little quip with you. Years ago during one of my marriages, my ex-husband was a radio announcer and he was having Cher come in on his radio show. And it was in Philadelphia and I was looking out the window from the studio. And I saw her coming up the street, and she had her hairdresser or somebody with her. And no one looked twice at her. No one knew who she was. No one. And, I mean, if you looked at her and thought about it, you'd say, yeah, that's Cher. you know. She did not have 5,000 people with her, you know, and she walked up this very main street into the building and did her show and left with the same person.
Right.
You know.
I mean, I'm just saying, you don't want that attention.
Nope.
If you're out there, and John and I didn't want the attention, but if you saw us and he came over and you asked for an autograph, he'd give it to you, and that was the key. And you know, and I just sort of stayed in the background. I just never watched. But in this day and age, with social media, everybody's in your face, and
mm-hmm.
the only thing about social media is it's great because I've seen a lot of people that I hadn't seen in a long time and gotten in touch. But at the same time, I 10 million dollars worth of jewelry. Do I have $1,000 worth of jewelry? I mean, that's crazy.
Let's next time I'm up there, May, let's walk around with all our jewels. Okay.
I mean, I don't even have that type of thing. And I would never say, cuz you know what? I come from the working class. I'm my parents, and you know, and whatever I have, I'm working for it. Nothing's ever been given to me, you know, and even to this day, I mean, I didn't get anything when John and I split. People think, oh, what did he give you? Nothing. I mean, I got a few things. I'm not saying I got a couple of things, but they're not what you think. They're more personal mementos than anything else, like a coat that he left me, you know, there's certain things, but not this, you know, monetary.
Your giant Swiss bank account, yeah.
Yeah.
Where you're keeping all your jewels, that lavalier that you own, yeah, that place.
I mean, that's it. I mean, they wouldn't find the jewelry. I mean, let's see, if I put all my costume jewelry together, I might get maybe $1,000. Like,
oh my
God! You know, I couldn't even think $10 million. I just couldn't think of that at all.
That's kind of obscene. That is kind of obscene. It's. But you know something? Hey, listen. Like we said, I don't wish that on anybody. But maybe you'll dial it back a little bit now, sister, and realize that you have put yourself in a very vulnerable position by nonstop picture taking of every single stinking second of your life, and that's what happens.
Like I said, and I just don't understand why she didn't have a bodyguard
or somebody
that was out there or checking things out. So I don't get it. I really don't.
No.
But you
me
know
either.
What? I'm glad she's okay. That's most important. That's the first thing. And maybe this is a lesson
Yeah, hopefully it's a lesson. I doubt it, though, you know, because now she'll make a career out of this, too. But let's talk a little bit about the breakfast, the Beetle breakfast, because – it is. Now, how old would John have been this birthday?
Let's see. He would have been, 76?
No.
Because
he's so frozen in time. He's frozen in time.
I know
it
is.
You don't
Him and George
way.
Are both frozen in time. Absolutely.
Yep.
You know, it's crazy. It's going to be a crazy time. I'm just happy. I've never had so many people all of a sudden, I want to go. I want to be it. I want to come to the show. It's like, oh, you know, I have no idea. So
Ken is such a great guy. He's such a funny guy, and he has one of the funniest wives. I mean, his wife came like hilarious.
Yeah,
she
was on that show the other day, the Bull, you know, with Michael Weatherly.
Oh, was she?
She has a recurring. If you go back and you could see something, she has a recurring role that's coming up as a judge.
Oh,
so,
good for her.
Yeah, so see the premiere showing of it the other night. And I don't think we've discussed this. I went to this thing called Music Cares. They were raising money, and it was a reunion of all the New York City session guys that started out. And I hadn't seen that. It was funny because everybody said, oh, don't forget, we got to get May onto this. No one told me about it. I have to thank Billy Amendola forcing me to come down to this thing. And then the organizer said, oh, we kept saying we got to get May there because it's because of her. We met through her. Yeah, nothing ever happened. But I did go, and I did have fun. And it was great to see the musicians, a few of the musicians that played on John's albums. You know, I saw David Spinoza. I saw Kenny Asher. Then I saw Will Lee, of course, with the Fab Four, and Paul Schaefer was there, and Sid McGuinness, and now that's three out of, some of the people from the Letterman, old Letterman band. I saw Chris Parker. Glenn Berger and Nita Rangawasi, I think that's how she says her name, because it's Indian, so sometimes I don't pronounce it right. Sorry about that, Nita. It was such a great night for me to see everyone, and anybody who's a musician, you could just sit there and you go, oh, my God. And it was also my friend Gene Bolan's birthday. It happens next to him. I was sitting next to my friend Peter Diamond as well. Peter's are you okay?
No.
Peter is he just did a few good things. I mean, he was busy. He's one of the executive he's one of the producers that works at NBC on the Olympics. So it was great to see him, and he was sitting there. We were talking about the Olympics. I told him how much I loved it. Danny Korchmar, you name it. It was like everybody who was in town was in town. Oh, and I just, before I forget, I want to wish a speedy recovery for Rich Pagano, who just had some surgery, sending him best wishes to get well soon. And then I saw one of my cardiologists there. He's a big fan, it's like a music fan. And so it was a lovely night, and it was to raise money for Music Cares, which is part of the Grammys for musicians that need help. And that was a good
call. I don't think people realize that when you listen to someone's music, a lot of those guys playing on it are session musicians, where they're
yeah.
like piece workers. They come in and they lay down tracks. Hey, I'm getting really good with the lingo. And
oh, I know.
They,
hey, listen. Oh, and guess what? Just to let you know, a surprise, appearance of Valerie Simpson, who sang, Ain't No Mountain High Enough. It was great.
I love her.
Oh,
well,
fabulous.
I think it's they're the unsung heroes. Like they're just like the background singers who did their documentary. What was it, 15 Feet from Famous or 20 Feet from Famous or whatever?
Stardom, yes.
From Stardom,
yes.
Yes,
those girls were. Yes, some of the girls were there.
Yeah, it's like
some of the girls.
Yeah,
were there.
And it's like people don't realize these men and women are just important for a star's success as anything else. And they're unsung heroes. So I'm glad. And also, too, they do try to take care of their own. It's a very closed society that way.
Yes,
and
that's why
nice
I said Music Cares is a very big thing and with the Grammys. And because there's been a lot of musicians that I know that couldn't afford anymore. They have no more money. They haven't been working. They're ill. And Music Cares takes care of our own. And we need, we need to donate and send money in and help these musicians. And I know a few that have used it, and it's been great. They need their rent paid that month. They could be short that month. Things like that. They take care.
That's a wonderful.
Depending
on
what it is.
On the other hand, May, our union, SAG-AFTRA,
yes.
is fighting to have ages removed. The age discrimination. Okay, let's break this down, because I was a casting director. Everybody lies about their age. I've seen women give a 30-year age range. I can play 20 to 50. Okay, so now, in other words, you can't discriminate against age. Oh, yeah. See, let's look at the next Baywatch call. We have a toddler in a bikini and a 99-year-old in a bikini. Stop it. It's like they're chasing after stupid stuff. It's like, and now with the Internet, I can find out how old anybody is. Anybody can.
And wouldn't that be discrimination already? Once you find out, they're too old. Hello?
Yeah. it's just stop it. I wonder how much money they wasted chasing after that thing. Stop it.
I think it's a little late for that. That should have been early
on. No kidding.
Not now. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so those are the things that's going on, and then there's Chiller, which I'm excited because I really want to see Tim Curry, because John and I went to see the first Rocky Horror on stage in L.A. that Lou Adler produced. And, you know, and it was a fabulous show, and I thought it was great. I would love to see Tim Curry. Yes, he is, you know, he's been ill and, you know, because of a stroke and everything, but I'm more proud to him to be out there, you know.
Well, yeah, kudos to him for dragging himself out and saying, well, I'm still here. You know, it doesn't mean I'm any different except that, you know, a little bump.
Right.
Keep up.
You know, he's still out there. He still wants to meet people. He still wants to be active, no matter, you know, in spite of his limitations of things. You know, people want to do it, so that's great. I'm okay. You know, I want to see him. I fabulous actor. I see Criminal Minds, and I see him on there, and it scared the living daylights. He plays those some crazy people out there.
Before we run out of time. We may be doing a very interesting Halloween show, you and I. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Because last night I had a discussion with, you know, Franklin, Tennessee had one of the biggest battles in the Civil War. I mean, it was like in 4 hours, 10,000 people killed. And I had a chat with a man who owns one of the houses that in the United States is called one of the top three haunted houses in the country.
Oh, I'd love to have that person on.
Uh-huh. And he said that I'm welcome to come with my computer and you and I get on the air and we do our show from his haunted house.
Love it. Love
we
it.
We got to do it. We got to do it. I'm excited.
Let's do it.
Oh, I know. So I was like, yeah,
that's
definitely
a definite. And before I forget, I'm going to see Richie Fure tonight. Who is our guest next week. And he's appearing tonight at the City Winery, which is a great venue. And, you know, the other venue that I went to, the Cutting Room, is my other – these are my two places, you know, in the city where I go. But I go mostly to the Cutting Room. Tonight he's at the City Winery, and it's great. And I'm going to have fun. I'm going to meet him, and then we talk to him next week.
Yeah,
you know?
He's going to be on our show, and we're excited about that. You know, we got a lot of listener. Good thing it's not viewer, because I'd be in serious trouble now. Not one of my best days. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I could say the same thing, but that's I could say the same thing. I'm just glad no one's seeing us. It's good. It is good. So, you know, I can't believe we're already down to last couple of minutes.
Wire.
Oh, my God.
So we're promising some interesting things in October. I'm also working on getting Bill Lloyd of the Long Players and real super, super connected and famous musician here in Nashville, and he wants to come on the show. So we got some peeps coming up, and a big shout-out to Gary Raychak.
Right.
You know, for always hunting down the best of the best for us. And people love to come on because we don't just – hammer you with stupid questions. We want to know about the real people because that's how you've dealt with people in the music business. And that's just how we are. That's how we roll.
What it is.
Yep.
So there you go. And oh my goodness, I hear the door just in time. I think
that's a doorbell.
And Lisa,
so you're going to have to jump off, my darling.
I've got to jump off in a minute. And you know what? I'm excited. I can't wait to see. I'll tell you how the Richie Fury the show is. Even though he's going to be on, we'll talk about it.
Yeah,
okay?
That'll be super, super.
Yes.
All right, so let's let you go answer the door, and we will say goodbye for now. And I'll chat with you in a minute.
We'll be posting this show on. So don't forget to listen, everyone. This goes into the archives like everything else. Adios from me.
That's Miss May Pang, and I'm Cynthia Nielsen, and you've been listening to Dinner Specials on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Shocktober!